Let's read together Genesis 42, verses 1 through 21. Here we have the first visit of Joseph's brothers to Egypt during the seven-year famine. Genesis 42, beginning at verse 1. When Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" And he said, "Indeed, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down to that place and buy for us there, that we may live and not die." So Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, "Lest some calamity befall him." And the sons of Israel went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them. But he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. Then he said to them, "Where do you come from?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land." And they said to him, "No, my lord, but your servants have come to buy food. We are all one man's sons. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies." But he said to them, "No, but you have come to see the nakedness of the land." And they said, "Your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And in fact, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more." But Joseph said to them, "It is as I spoke to you, saying, 'You are spies.' In this manner you shall be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you and let him bring your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be tested to see whether there is any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies." So he put them all together in prison 3 days. Then Joseph said to them the third day, "Do this and live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house, but you go and carry grain for the famine of your houses, and bring your youngest brother to me. So your words will be verified, and you shall not die." And they did so. Then they said to one another, "We are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us." Let's look at a few background notes first of all. At the end of Genesis 41, we see that the 7 years of famine predicted by Joseph have begun. The famine is in all the lands, not just Egypt. When we come to Genesis 42, more than 20 years have gone by since Joseph was last seen by his brothers and father. You remember, he was betrayed by his brothers and sold as a slave when he was 17 years old, Genesis 37, verse 2. And he was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, Genesis 41, verse 46. So that's 13 years. Add to that the 7 years of plenty, and we have a total of 20 years. And now we're probably a couple of years into the famine when Jacob sent his sons down to Egypt to buy grain. When the brothers arrived in Egypt, Joseph recognized them, but they did not recognize Joseph. Verse 6 says that they bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. Joseph's dreams are coming true. Joseph did not reveal himself to his brothers, but rather accused them of being spies and treated them rather roughly. Now, it might seem at first glance that Joseph was being vindictive here, but the real reason was that Joseph was testing his brothers. How was their attitude? Had there been a change in their moral character? How had they treated their father Jacob? How had they treated their brother Benjamin during these 20 years? We know he was not taking revenge because in verse 24, we see that he weeps over his brothers. When Joseph's brothers came and bowed down to him, Joseph did not reveal himself and say something like, "Surprise, here I am, I'm Joseph. You better bow low. Do you remember those dreams?" No, Joseph didn't say anything like that. Joseph restrained himself and began to test the brothers as to their moral character. And of course, God was using all of these events to awaken the guilty conscience in the brothers for what they had done to Joseph. And that brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for these verses. Doctrinal point number one, God awakens a guilty conscience by arranging circumstances. God awakens a guilty conscience by arranging circumstances. It wasn't by chance that the famine spread to the land of Canaan. And it wasn't by chance that Joseph's brothers were in need. And it wasn't by chance that Joseph's brothers were forced to come to Egypt. All of these circumstances were arranged by God to awaken the guilty conscience of the brothers. Can you imagine how even the mention of Egypt would trigger painful memories in the minds of the brothers? Maybe that's why we read at the end of verse 1, Jacob said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" Their guilty consciences are being awakened by the mention of Egypt. You see, during the 7 years of plenty, when everything was going well and there was an abundance, they were able to conveniently forget about Joseph. Their guilty consciences were asleep. But now, the famine and the need to go to Egypt, their guilty consciences awakened. I wonder what they thought about when they were on the way to Egypt. I wonder if they thought, you know, Joseph has been this way before, bound as a slave because we betrayed him. Will we see Joseph in bondage? Is it possible he's still alive? Will he see us? Their guilty conscience was awakened by their surrounding circumstances. God had arranged these circumstances. God awakens a guilty conscience by arranging circumstances. Are you here this morning guilty of some unconfessed sin? Well, I can assure you that God will arrange your circumstances so that you will not be able to sleep it off forever. God will awaken your guilty conscience. You know, I know of a case where a marriage was saved because the husband, who was a Christian pastor, was called on to counsel in another situation involving marital problems. It turned out that the problems in that situation were identical to his own. His guilty conscience was awakened, and his own marriage was saved, as well as the other marriage. Praise the Lord. God had arranged these circumstances so that he would be called on to counsel in that particular situation. God awakens a guilty conscience by arranging circumstances. Doctrinal or teaching point number two, God awakens a guilty conscience during times of solitude. God awakens a guilty conscience during times of solitude. Joseph's rough treatment of his brothers was designed to test them. Now, part of the test was that the brothers were put in prison for 3 days. What do you think they thought about in prison for 3 days? There were no distractions. They were alone. They were facing the death penalty because that was the penalty for spying. We know what they thought about. Verse 21, they said to one another, "We are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress has come upon us." God awakens a guilty conscience during times of solitude. When people have a guilty conscience, they don't like solitude. Even when they are alone, they want all kinds of distractions around them. Anything to keep their guilty conscience shut up and closed down. Because God awakens a guilty conscience during times of solitude. Can you imagine what it will be like in hell for the unbeliever? Forever in solitary confinement with a guilty conscience. I believe that's what the Lord is referring to in Mark 9 when more than once he says, "Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." That guilty conscience gnawing away forever. Maybe your guilty conscience has been awakened because God has put you in a time or place of solitude. Thank the Lord for that and confess your sin. God awakens a guilty conscience during times of solitude. And doctrinal point number three, God awakens a guilty conscience with acts of kindness. God awakens a guilty conscience with acts of kindness. Although the brothers were being tested and they were undergoing some rough treatment in the process, yet there were acts of kindness along the way. In verse 18 and following, The brothers are taken out of prison and allowed to return home with grain for their families. Only one brother was kept as security. And look at what Joseph says there in verse 18. Then Joseph said to them the third day, "Do this and live, for I fear God." In other words, follow my instructions, men, and you will not die. You will live, for I fear God, not the gods of Egypt, but the one true God, the same God that you worship. What an encouragement. What an act of kindness. And then the brothers are given their money back, as we'll see in the second part of this chapter. Now, this giving the money back certainly involved a test of their honesty, but it was an act of kindness as well. These acts of kindness were all designed by God to help awaken their guilty conscience. God awakens a guilty conscience with acts of kindness. I know a Christian man who, when he was a college student, cheated the owner of a store where he worked part-time. He stole several $100s worth of merchandise. But his boss was such a kind and generous man, always doing acts of kindness for his employees, that this student told me he just couldn't take it any longer. He went and confessed his sins and made it right and became a Christian as well in the process. That was God at work awakening a guilty conscience. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" God awakens a guilty conscience with acts of kindness. Now, what about practical application? Spend some time alone with God. Spend some time alone with God. Now, normally when we say this, we mean to get alone with God so that he can direct you as to your life of service for him, or just to worship him more. But here, we're particularly speaking in reference to a guilty conscience. Spend some time alone with God so he can awaken a guilty conscience if it's there in your life lying dormant. David said in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." David was not afraid to spend time alone with God, even though it might result in the awakening of a guilty conscience. Spend some time alone with God. You know, every summer, I speak at a teenage camp where we have a time alone with God. It's a 20-minute period of time where we have all the campers go out by themselves, alone, solitude. Why? Well, for the Christian kids, it's so that they might make a recommitment, think through what the Lord wants them to do. But for the non-Christian kids, it's so that God can awaken a guilty conscience. They will see their need to come to Christ for salvation because there's so many other distractions. So we have designed this time to force some time alone with God. We all need to do that. Spend some time alone with God.